which it's not. I can't preach in 2 minutes. As a matter of fact, I did a chapel 2 weeks ago, and it was only 20 minutes long, and I got almost to the end. I said, and they said, well, come back. So I'm going to speak again Thursday and finish up what I've, and I'm going to be speaking on the resurrection of the dead. A lot of you might wonder about that. That's I had to do a lot of study on that because there's a lot of detail in there, a lot of different views about that. So anyway, I've enjoyed that. But today, in my studies and where I've come from, I'm going to try to get this as concise as I can, but I've got to get to it. It's important. I feel like this message is important for everybody here. There's not a person. And it's also a part of what God has put in my heart to prepare us for our spiritual awakening and our preparation for that. So take it in that light.
Don't worry, Ron. If you run long, we'll bring you back next time.
Thank you. You might have to finish up my message. Today, we live in storms. We live in, your life might even feel like a storm. You feel like you are waist deep. Yesterday, Friday and Saturday, I was with my family down in, they were in the floods. I've told you the stories of where they are there in Sampson County. So we went to Warsaw. I don't know if you have those pictures, but we went to Warsaw, and there was the men's, it's called Relief, Disaster Relief of the Baptist Men of North Carolina. And you see those pictures there. Anyway, this is at the, just leave it like that. The disaster relief team was here. I went around the back, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five different trailers right there with different disaster relief aids. There's trucks right there to the right of that tree. They were picking up things and taking it to the warehouse. Then they bring in trucks from the coast, and they pick up the things at the warehouse. And this is going on 7 days a week. Even this afternoon, they got a couple of trucks going out. I listened to them. 153 people yesterday came in to help them from one church. I don't know how big the church is, but 153 from one church came in to help them. There was 50 who came in on Wednesday of this past week from one church to help them with disaster relief. So a lot of churches are sending in people and sending things. And my sister, although she was in the flood, she was taking things for disaster relief. She took a mattress. She took pads. They don't have mattresses, by the way. You say, what do they sleep on? Floor? The mattresses are all wet. You don't sleep on wet, nasty mattresses. So they're sleeping on the floor. So she brought a mattress. You might think a mattress is not that important until you sleep on the floor a while. Okay? But anyway, she took me, I was saying that, but she took me on the back roads because she wanted to show some of the flood area. And we went down this little dip in the road. And down at the bottom was a little creek with a little bridge. And we looked over. All the fields in that little area were black. They were black because they had been underwater so long. You could tell where the water had been and how deep it was. Over in the field, across, was a pickup truck, almost a brand spanking new pickup truck, sitting in the field at the back, up in the woods. It had been swept away. Somebody tried to go through that water and was swept away. She doesn't know who it was, but she said, we saw the truck and we heard that somebody had been swept. They had to get in teams to get them out of that pickup truck. It looked, you know, you forget what the road looks like when you aren't on it every day. And they thought, they didn't know the dip was there. It was level. Well, you go through a level and it was a dip. It was 10 feet deep there and it swept the truck away. I want you to know something. We live in a day when all around us, we are in struggles. We're in a world of struggle. There are too many of us that I think sit around talking and pointing fingers
and laughing and making fun of people to where it almost makes me sick, because those people are struggling and we're making fun or talking about them. We should be helping them. I'm tired of hearing people charge people with things that they don't know is true. I'm tired of hearing people who are walking around being judgmental about things in their community. Like Mike said, if they're not in church, they must be evil, you know, people. I'm tired of the judgmentalness of our society and what's going on. But beyond that, I think we are in storms that so inflict its pain and struggle on us that we find ourselves being swept away if we're not careful. Christians can be swept away. Christians who are claimed to be Christ-centered can be sometimes the most judgmental. I think it's high time that we as Christians start realizing that when the floods come, we are to be carers and people who take care, who come to people's aid and lift up each other. But not only in the storms of life, the major storms like that, but also in minor storms. There are people all around us going through struggles, and they are being swept away, and unless we go out and reach out with a rope and grab them, they're going to be swept away. It is our responsibility. It is our obligation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." You and I are in a great war. You are in a war. You may not realize it, but you are. And daily, there are forces coming against you, against your family, to destroy marriages, to destroy homes, to destroy communities, to destroy a nation. And it's coming against us. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against our husband and our wife. We're not fighting against our children. We're fighting against spiritual forces that need to be bound up by the Christian and need to be released into captivity, those things that need to be out and taken charge of by Christians. Listen, we are in the midst of challenges of our children falling in a fallen world with communication tablets and phones with direct access to that fallen world. Health questions that are constantly changing, diet needs. We are in school struggles. We go to the point we are disoriented and struggling with our family issues and financial issues. When men and women venture into the storms of life and step into deep waters and are challenged and stressed, they need a lifeline. And you have the availability of that lifeline. And so many around us have no availability. They don't even know how to get through it. And they're swept away. And they can't figure out what's going on in life. Hear me. In Peter Scazzaro's book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, he said this: in the Midwest, whenever they have blizzards — they don't have blizzards like we have here. I mean, they have full-fledged blizzards where you can't see your hand in front of your face, and it continues for hours. And farmers find themselves incapable of getting to the barns to feed their horses or take care of their cattle because of the storms, because if they go out, they get lost. So they began to put ropes between the house and the barns, and they would feel along the ropes to get to the barn and feel along the ropes to get back. There was a man who had a rope, and he became disoriented And eventually they found him dead just a few feet from the house in the storm because he couldn't find his way back. You say, what happened? And many were inquiring, what happened? And then they found out this. In a blizzard that is really bad, did you know you can't tell up from down? You not only can't tell which direction to go, you really don't know what's up. And you don't know what's down. And he couldn't reach up to find the rope because he kept reaching down. His hands were all in the dirt. I want you to know something. In this world, with Satan's deployed access to us and everything going on around to us, can cause us to become disoriented and functionally blind to what's going on around us. And we can make some really bad decisions unless we take that rope in hand. We need a lifeline to keep us from being swept into the deep. I want to share with you this morning something that I found out and began to look at, reinvent in my life, and begin to process. And I want you to know that it is important to a Christian in their spiritual health. And there's two things. And it's spiritual rhythm and spiritual rest. Spiritual rhythm, spiritual rest. Now, I want to talk about that a second. And actually, this comes from some of you would say this comes from the Catholic background. Well, it comes far further back than that. Because I want to share with you that the first one is rhythm. As in the Old Testament, David set seven times a day in Psalms 119, 164. He said, seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rule. Seven times a day. Daniel in Daniel 6:10 said, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into the house where he had windows and his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God as he had done previously. In the Old Testament, we read again and again, the Jewish people understood that there needs to be rhythm in your life of meeting God. God brings rhythm to your life. God brings life to your life. He brings perspective to your life. Now, I know people will say, well, I have a devotion once a day. I know some people have a devotion once a week. They think that's enough. I have devotion. I pray. I have my prayer list. I have my spiritual journal. But here's the question. How many times a day? Now, immediately when I say that, people will say, well, I'm busy. Is there anybody in here not busy? If you're not, I got stuff for you to do. The early church maintained this practice as this was from God. Acts 3:1 says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. They had the hours designated when they went up for prayer. In Acts 10:9, the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. The second and third century disciples called it daily office or divine office. The early church fathers led out in this, and we see it maintained through the Middle Ages, even until the last century. But we have lost that rhythm. Now, what do you mean by rhythm? For those in music, you know what rhythm is. One of the saddest things I can ever imagine is to hear music out of rhythm. That's why you have drums. We at our chapel, the guy who leads the music, he has a bass drum, and he plays the guitar. Boy, if you get out of rhythm with the kids, it's a mess. Out of rhythm in your life means there's nothing that you feel like you're being swept away. Your day is sweeping you away. Your day's in charge of you instead of you are in charge of the day. How many people feel that way at their work? My work is guiding my life. God has a plan, and his plan was this, that you meet him four to six times a day and stop, get quiet before the Lord, and breathe what the Jewish people called spiritual air. This plan, God's plan of a rhythm in your life, comes with this. And there are four things in it. Number one, you stop your work. You stop what you're doing. You stop whatever's going on. You stop. That's what I tell my kids. I don't say get quiet, or I say stop. God says stop. Number two, centering. Psalm 17:7 says, be still and know that I am God. We center on God alone, his majesty, his power, his love, his faithfulness, his divine authority. And when you feel like your day is being swept away, and where is God in the midst of it? God is there. The problem is you're not there with God. It's not that God's not there. And you sit there and go, where is God? This is overwhelming me. Stop and center on God, and he's there. The third part of that is silence. Do you know what drives my kids crazy at school? The number one thing that drives my kids crazy? Silence. They don't know how to be silent. Our kids don't know how to be silent today. Do you know that? You sit a kid in somewhere and tell them be quiet. It will drive them utterly mad. Because in this world, all they know is noise. And if they don't have noise, they put earbuds in. They got to have something going. You cannot be in control when you let the world have the volume on your radio. Silence lets God speak. God speaks in a still, small voice. How many times do we read that in the Bible? As a matter of fact, it said that in 1 Kings 19:12, it said that Elijah heard God in the depths of silence. What do you mean, the depths of silence? It was so silent that he finally heard God. You've got to have moments of silence every day where you listen for God. Fourth, scripture. At the end of that time, you just pour out scripture. And one of the greatest books of rhythm ever devised, and it's given to us, by the way, it's dead center in your Bible. I tell my kids, if you can find anything, find Psalms. Just open to the middle. Psalms is a book of rhythm. It's written with rhythm. It's written to where people write music to it. Psalms, you take Psalms out and you read it, it gives you rhythm. Now, when I was studying this and thinking about it, going, okay, so what am I going to do? I've set 8 o'clock, 12:45, 5 o'clock, and 11:30 at night. That's my times to meet God. Now, I do it for 10 minutes. That's all. I have gone 15 before, but I do it for 10 minutes. And I've done it this week. I had gotten away from it. I'm doing, and it does make a difference in your life. 10 minutes. Stop. Stop. Listen. Get quiet. Reflect on God. I promise you, you will be a different person. Now you say, how do I do that? If your day is so messed up that you can't find 10 minutes to get quiet, then you need to look at your life a little bit. And by the way, I set those times specifically because, why 12:45? Because that's between one of my lunch periods and the other lunch period, and I usually go and sit anyway, so that's what I'm going to do. I usually answer emails. I don't do that anymore during that time. That's God's time. 10 minutes between my two lunch periods. You've got 10 minutes. Every one of you got 10 minutes in the middle of the day. Everybody here has 10 minutes in the middle of the day, but you do stuff like answer emails during that time. I'm asking you to make God the rhythm in your life. Take time to get quiet. Now that's what God has given us, and he's given us all the way through the scriptures, and yet many of us don't know to follow it, so I wanted to share that with you. If you want to grow in your spiritual walk, you need to have rhythm to your spiritual growth. There needs to be rhythm to it. And the rhythm comes in walking with God several times a day. If you want to only start with two times a day, that's great. Start with two times a day. Go to three later on. But the point is, find time to get quiet before God. This is not where you come in. God, help me. My boss is killing me. That's not what you're doing in this quiet time. You're listening for God. The second is, not only do we need spiritual rhythm, we need spiritual rest. The rest is commanded us. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. There shall be a day of rest. Now let me say to you, you were designed only for 6 days of work, not for seven. God did not design you to work every day. And when you go against His design, you are inflicting damage on yourself, and you will eventually be swept away. What was the Sabbath? Was it a day of worship? No. They had worship on the Sabbath, but that was not the point. Was Sabbath was 24 hours of rest. How many of us rest for 24 hours? It's a command of God. It's one of the commandments. By the way, I know some people say, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm not going to get into that commandment stuff because didn't God liberate us? Didn't He set us free? Let me tell you something. Jesus Himself said, not a jot or a tittle will be abolished from the laws. I have not come to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota will pass from the law. It will all be accomplished. Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. So therefore, the law is still at play. And the law was, thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. Now, I want to read that to you. It's in Exodus chapter 1. In all the commandments, and he would say, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt, but listen what he does with this one. Remember the Sabbath, this is Exodus 1:8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, obviously the seventh day is Saturday. The biggest work day of the year, I started to say the biggest work day of the year is Saturday, but now I believe it's Sunday. At least in Durham County. Which is an abomination, by the way, what I believe. Six days you shall work, the seventh you shall rest. Now, not for everybody is the Sabbath on Saturday. Your Sabbath might be Sunday, and that's the day you worship, right? And that would be great if your Sabbath was Sunday. But that's not for everybody. And I know some businesses take off Mondays. What they used to take off on Sunday, now they take off on Monday. I know several restaurants are off on Mondays, okay? So that could be their Sabbath. But I think it's very important that you have a Sabbath. I think the scriptures are clear why we have a Sabbath, why we have a day of rest, and it is because you don't operate well on more days of work. Now, I know people who say, well, I have more than one job. My friends, I have three. But I do take a day off. And it's usually Sunday, although sometimes it's Saturday. When I really have a stressful day on Sunday, I will take. Because even though I am serving the Lord here at the church, and I am then sometimes preaching at Life Zone, and sometimes I'm visiting, that's work for me. So I need a day of rest. I also teach 5 days a week. I need a day of rest. And a lot of times it's Saturdays. That's my Sabbath. And my wife and I sit and talk about what's our Sabbath this week. What's our day of rest? And by the way, Sabbath is anything that you do that gives you rest. I work in the garden, and I take my time at it. That's my rest. Part of it. I don't work all day in the garden. It'd kill me. For some people, a rest is husband and wife going out to the mall, just walking around, then going to get something to eat together, then going to a movie together and just being together and just relax. That's a day of rest. Okay? You need that. For other people, they like to quilt. And that's their quilting day. And they really get great pleasure and rest out of doing it. Have you ever heard the term, a woman's work is never done? That's wrong. A woman needs a day off too. From her housework, from her regular work, job, she needs a day of rest. Now, I want to close with this. There was a wagon train from St. Louis to Oregon. Most of them in the wagon train were Christians. They were going out to establish, this was back in the early 1800s. And on their way, they knew that they had to try to beat the snowstorms. And so they said, after a couple of weeks, they said, we need to stop this stopping on the Sabbath on Sunday and having worship and resting because it's putting us behind. Well, there were some very devout Christians says, no, the commandment says we're to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy. No. And so they split the group into two. The wagon train was almost split 50-50. Half the group said we're going to continue 7 days a week all the way. And it was still several weeks before they got to Oregon. The other group spent their next 5 weeks taking every Sunday off, resting the horses, resting people, sitting around playing the fiddle, dancing, enjoying a meal together as families. Guess who got to Oregon first? The families that took the 5 Sundays off, because their horses, their bodies were able to go far greater distances during the day, and they had more strength to do what they were called to do. I want you to know something. Satan wants you to give up your day of rest. And through your work and through your community, they will tell you, you need to do more. You need to do more. You need to do more. And you will almost feel guilty if you take a day off and just rest. But God has commanded you to take a day off and rest. During that day of rest, you need to stop. You need to rest. You need to delight. And you need to contemplate. And I want to just say something about that. Delight and contemplate. What does that mean? You need to delight in the Lord, what He's created. That's why I like to be outdoors. I love being in my boat and just sitting there and just, while we stop in a cove, and I just sit there and look out at the trees and watch them and I just enjoy God and what He's done. And I meet God out there. I delight in all that He's done. I delight in Him. I delight in the hour. I delight in the time that I live. Contemplate means think about all that God has done for you. When you get through with that day, you should be ready to take them all on. Last night, my team got killed. South Carolina looked terrible. They did everything wrong. They fumbled. They passed 3 pass interceptions, and the boy hadn't had 3 pass interceptions all year. He was terrible. Kentucky beat him. Kentucky beat South Carolina 24-10. I'm sitting there going, what the world? And then at the end, I found out they were frustrated for 2 days before they got there. Their plane they had to spend half the night in the airport. And then when they got there, the bus was not there. And they were sitting out in the sun for hours. And then they finally got the bus in there. And everything that preceded them getting to the football field went wrong and went bad. And they were so frustrated when they got there, everything fell apart on the football field. I want you to know, if you don't have a day of rest,
Everything can fall apart during the week, and you don't need it to fall apart on your work week. You are doing your boss a favor by taking a day off. You are doing the kingdom of God service by taking a day off. You are doing the spiritual awakening that we are looking forward to, a service, by number one, taking a day of rest, and number two, during the day, taking time where you stop and get before God in a rhythm of spirit. I encourage you, start taking care of yourself. So when we get to November, you're still here. And you're ready to let God do what he needs to do. Let us pray.
Father,
thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for the gift of rest that you have given us. Help us to take it. Help us to use it to strengthen our bodies, our minds, and our hearts and our spirits, that we might be the great strengthening vessel that you can use throughout the week. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray.